Oh my. Well, I said to your wife this morning, so do you regret not going to the camp out this weekend? So do you regret not going to the camp out this weekend? And we said, you know, you reach a certain age when there's a call in the middle of the night, and it's so much easier to go to the bathroom close by as opposed to across the woods, through the dales, and in the rain last night. So, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters that they made it through okay. So this morning, you know, this is not where I have become accustomed or preferred to be. There's so much more comfort sitting in the back and just being a participant. And then every so often, the Lord calls and says, it's time to have some discussion. So I pray that these will be his words that'll touch some hearts, that there'll be some part that you'll take with you and it'll have an effect on your life. So the topic for this morning starts out with, let the river flow. And much of this is not from me, but I think there's a couple here that might relate to it very well. In January of 1998, there was a certain gentleman by the name of Richard Lambert that brought a prophecy forth on this body of church. Do you remember? So, all of these years ago, he came in, he said, the Lord has words for me to share with you on where you're headed. And before I get into that, though, I've reached a point in life when you begin to think, where did I come from? What's my background? How did it begin to set thoughts and characteristics in my life? And the memories from the past, especially as you get older, become more cherished, just very special, and you can just begin to see the points in life that the Lord has moved. So I putting this together, saying I need to talk about where this church came from and where the direction came from and what it has been doing to be able to move us in a direction in this place where the Lord's planted us. And in fact, the Bible says that we are to reflect on it and repeat it to our children and tell them what the Lord has done in our life, that it will begin to impact them so that they will have an understanding, so they will have a background, that they will know that there is something special in their life because God has called them, much as Peter said. And even as you're saying this morning, God's working in here. He really is. So when Richard Lambert came in, this is a church. It had been started in the living room of Stu and Arlene Helmig in 1995. And by the time 98 came around and I started in 99, we were in the meeting place. And one of the points was that we had gotten comfortable in the meeting place. And he said, but there's more. So if you give me the first scripture, please, in Ezekiel. So this is talking about the measuring line. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was ankle deep. So he's taking us in a little bit at a time. Off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He then measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And fairly simple words, but what's the sight? What are we supposed to be seeing in that? It says the river is flowing, and in fact, in verse 2, it says there was a trickle. Just a trickle. So now it moves from a trickle of water coming out from the body to a river that's flowing out. To where? To the area that the Lord has planted us. So I'm going to be as faithful as I can to what Richard Lambert had said. Do you want to be in that move of God? Do you want the flow of God in your lives? Do you want to see that flow in this fellowship? Peter, you talked about the flow in your life and the flow in this fellowship. And he has. There's times when perhaps we've shut it off a bit. There's times when perhaps we've gotten too busy and not paid attention. There may be times when we've forgotten about the history of what the Lord has done for us. But again, it says, do you want to see that flow in this fellowship? Part of the move of God is that he is bringing unity back into the church. And we are seeing it here. I'm watching now as one of the groups, New Hampshire Alliance, is trying to build that unity back, that we make a difference in this community that he has planted us. Is anyone a native of New Hampshire here? Two people. Congratulations. Very good. So that says the rest of us are transplants. That the Lord moved us into this place. And he says, that's why I want you. That's where I have your work. So in Psalms, go to Psalms 46, please. No? All right, I'll read it. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. So that's the God that we serve, the God that we're here with. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. In today's world, that might be difficult to say, yes, Lord, but that's his word. The river flows. And that's what we're about. That's what Richard Lambert was calling out in 1998, so 24 years ago, that says, there is something here for you. There's something that you need to grab onto and remember that it's the Lord that's saying, I have a place for you. I have a direction for you. I have work for you touching other lives. So, he goes on to say, I felt the word that I'm sharing about the river of God is something he is saying prophetically here to the group God wants to move in this fellowship. He wants the river to flow out of here. And I'll be coming through in some of, just to talk about some of the areas again, the history, what has been built on, out of hearts that someone said, the Lord has directed me to construct a church, to his church, to build a body of people that believe in God, believe in the flowing of the river, and we actually name the church River of Life. So he continues, the flow of the river really gushes through here, but I sense in my heart that it is to be done. Can you feel when the Lord's calling us to worship, the whole word of just gushing out of here, it's not a word I use very often, but it is, it just flows out of here, out of the depths of our heart, out of the depths of our spirit, who the Lord has put in to us for a work, not for our own purposes, but for the work of God. Men and women that seek after Jesus Christ, not seeking after the river to flow, but seeking after Jesus, who is the river. So once again, it's this whole call of the basis is Jesus. It's his heart that needs to be flowing out of us and moving into this community that he's prepared us for. And as I reflect on this time in River of Life, so often we've heard the words, it's like a family. I feel like I belong here. I feel like I've been welcomed. And that has been on our heart that said, anyone that comes through, we need to welcome them, regardless of what they look like, regardless of their background. We need to welcome them and make them know that they are children of God that we respect and we will honor. So his question was, how many of you in this room have been hearing the Holy Spirit telling you to do something new in this fellowship? And you said, I rebuke you, devil. That's not God. I would look like a fool if I do that. Now, he's talking about the time, do you recall Brownsville and some of the revivals up in Canada? So this is his reference to those particular times. And there are things that perhaps the Lord calls on us, and the answer is, Lord, I'm not really comfortable with that. This is okay for discussion now. There's not very many people here. And I'd like this to be a little bit like the Brazilian discussion, because they respond. You know, Daryl would love it there, because there are people that say, oh yes, amen, amen. What about this, brother? Yes. So, but it is, have you, I'll share with you on one occasion, I'm driving to Pembroke, and this was in my bachelor days. And quite often the reason I'd be driving through Pembroke is because there's a whole series of used cars, lots along there, and I enjoyed cars. So I'm driving along and I see this nice pickup truck. So I stopped in to look at it and start talking to the guy who was obviously ill. And we had a nice chat, and he got to talking to me about what was going on. He had cancer. Have you ever been right on 28 in Pembroke, right through the town? The cars going by all the time. And I hear the Lord saying, pray over him. Lord, I'm standing out here on this main street, and you are calling me to pray over this man for healing. Are you serious? Is this really what you want? You know, do you know who you're talking to? And obviously the answer was yes. Do you know who you're talking to? So I prayed for him. And you begin to see how that brings an ease to a person. Nikki, you've seen that. That just reaching out to someone on a sick bed, someone who is reaching for just some hope to pray for them, can have such a difference in their day. So continuing on, if the river is to flow through here, let the Holy Spirit do it. Let's walk out on the waters that we haven't been on before, just letting go and letting God. Have you done that? Have you done it with great trepidation? It says, man, I'm not really, really comfortable here. And are you there with me? Are you going to be there, if you will, holding my hand and make sure I don't trip? And the good news is, the answer is yes. So he continues, wherever the river goes, it brings life. So here in this body, each one of us, we have the opportunity to bring life out of darkness, out of despair, out of a lack of hope, because we do have the Holy Spirit. And as you were saying earlier, he's working in here. He's working in here.
Even if we don't see it.
Amen. Yeah. Now, yeah. Daily, in our lives, but away from here, because this is merely a building, and Jesus was not consigned to buildings. Well, he did go into them, but we're not going to talk about that part of it today. And then he continues, and this is an important part for River of Life. I love when God brings in folks that have been hurting a long time, but they still come with baggage on them, and it's hard to deal with baggage if you haven't dealt with it themselves. But I tell you what is great when that new blood comes in. We are blessed. And look at the new blood that has come in here. I have an opportunity to be working with a number of the other churches here. And virtually everyone says, we have an older population. We don't have children. What's going to happen over the years if we don't begin seeing new families come in? Look at the blessings here. We have more children on a Sunday morning in this body than we do adults.
That's right.
How special is that? Is that by accident? It's the Lord's blessing. And we need not minimize what he's done in that area, because he has said, I have blessed. You have gifts, you have resources to go out and make changes. And that's what we're about. That's what he's been doing all of these years. Continuing, there is restoration to be made. There are healings to be made, and then God is going to move in this place. I don't think you need to conduct it. Let the Holy Spirit conduct it. Don't try to make it come. Just let it come. You will see miracles take place, ministries. You will see the hand of God. Let him move in your midst. Again, you will see miracles in his place. Now, this was prophetic, and we need to check on prophetic statements. You see, long term, is it coming to fruition? So this is from 98, 24 years. And you can see that the Lord had something for the people here at this River of Life. But not just here, but has blessed us enough, so much that we need to make sure we're pouring out. So with that, what has happened here? So this lovely couple here are the most senior couple in this body, since they were there in the living room. Have you seen the growth? Have you seen how the Lord moved us to this place? In fact, I don't believe, and you were in Florida when we moved in here, right? So this was a software place. In fact, even before then, we moved here in 83. This was a flooring place. Where we are right now was the warehouse for the flooring place. So you look at, Lord, you brought me here. I came into this place, it was a flooring place, and now this room that used to hold rugs and other supplies, it's a sanctuary, it's a place to worship God. You made the changes here. And it was the hands coming together to put all of this together because it was open space. All of the things you see here came from the hands, certainly of Kevin Helmig, but everyone was part of it. There were painting parties. There were cleaning parties. Some of the painting, well, let's just leave it as it was done. I won't go any further than that. No commentary, no editorialization. But we went through people that had heart for prison ministries. Coats for Kids, 21 years. If you haven't been there to watch these little kids in September, and usually it's been warm in the 70s. It's been beautiful days. I think we had it one time with rain. But to watch these little kids put on the boots and the coats with a look of joy on their face that you couldn't imagine. That's the work of God. That's touching lives. That's reaching into this community that the Lord has placed us. Thanksgiving baskets, Christmas baskets. We used to supply appliances and mattresses on occasion. I can still remember over on Power Street, there was a need that came up that the family needed a mattress. And it was Steve Johnson and myself went over to deliver it. This little girl, you could not have believed the joy on her face going, it's a mattress, we have a mattress, we got a mattress, look at this, this is great. And all we're doing is to take out of our what the Lord provided, to just take a mattress in. And that life saw joy in such a small thing. So this is a body that has said we care, and we want to be able to show people that they are worthy and provide for their needs physically as well as spiritually. Hospital visitations. We did have one of the men that we had an opportunity to be with on the day before he passed away in the hospital. And it could be very difficult. And yet, this brother Bill was preaching to us. He was talking about what the Lord had done just the day before he died, at peace and in comfort. So even to the point where you may be called upon to be with that dying person. That may be, for you, very difficult. For me, I would have to say I struggled. And yet, the Lord said, you need to do that again. I need to have you in that place. So there were multiple times, unfortunately, to be there to pray with someone as they were passing away. But again, it's the privilege of being there with them and just sharing their life. Again, the history. What's bringing them to fulfillment that said, I lived a life, I have seen these things, it's been difficult, but here I'm touched. The mission support. This is one of the areas that I believe that the Lord has laid on us. And we had said early on, we would like to reach the point where at least 10% of all of the income is going to missions. 10%. And there were times when we were running rather tightly, but it was never terribly difficult. One exception. But in the last 2 years, if you remember the family meetings, the missions outflow on a percent of expense was 31%. 31%. And I believe in the depths of my heart, that's one of the reasons the Lord continues to bless us. Because we receive, and it goes back out. Again, for those of you that don't know, and with Soul Missions, there are up to 1,200 children in the classrooms. They're feeding them. They're providing knowledge of the Bible. They are touching lives, because these are the young ones that have nothing. Oftentimes their parents have died, and the grandparents are dealing with them. They live in huts. So we're able to take out of our plenty and be able to touch them. We're able to be party to what's happening in Real Options, Cornerstone, and any number of others. And the benevolence that we've had is that someone has a need, the Lord has blessed us, that we can be able to touch them. And part of it is a question that says, will your community value this body? If we are gone, would they miss us? Would there be any indication that they have lost something in the community? I would think from some of the input we have achieved a level of status that says they are of value to the community. Oh, and share dinners. Now, I don't know how many I see here, a couple handful. To be there, and now I'm much more comfortable because it's usually older people, and I kind of fit in that grouping pretty well now. But just the joy of being there cooking, preparing, the fellowship each other, and then going out and talking with the people that are there to eat. And one of the things we've heard several times, one of them is, because previously I had gone out and said the grace for the meal, and they went out and talked to people. But they said, oh yeah, we love to see the young pastor here. He's just such a joy to be here. I go, okay, sorry, you know, I'll show up, but I can't be the young pastor. So he has hit, you know, he has a high level of popularity at the shared dinners. But for us, it's just nice to talk with the people and to be able to prepare some food, reaching out and just, we may be establishing a memory, a connection, that we just never know what will happen from that. And not the least of which is prayer. This corporate prayer is so critical. Early on when we started coming, we had prayer 1 week in the morning. It was usually at 6 a.m. Now, for morning people, that was pretty easy. And in my younger days, 6 a.m. was easy because I was usually up by 4:30. Nowadays, trying to get up for 6 o'clock, I will admit, is a real struggle. But there's nighttime now. Nighttime works out better in some regards. And we've had corporate prayer now since I've been here in 99. And please join us on Wednesday nights, because we do have time to be able to pray for many, many requests, many issues. So that's our history. We've been here 24 years. Well, actually, no, 27. 24 years ago, there was this prophecy over who we are. So I pray you remember that there is a history here. The Lord has said, I have work for you. I have a direction for you. Let the river flow. Let it come forth that you can touch people. And the picture, I faded it out a bit, but if you can see here under God, there's a bridge. And I have to share this one story with you. Years ago, Arlene had said for an Easter service, she wanted to have a bridge here, with the concept being, we've got to step out of where you have been in this old life into this new life. So, Paul, would you go out and find a bridge small enough that we can put over in the corner here?
Oh,
So I said, yeah, I'll give it a try. So I called around the places. All right, some of these places that have bridal supplies, I've seen these bridges here, little small ones. So I called one place. No, we don't have any. Call the second place. No, we don't have any. So I called this third place. It says, I'm looking for a bridge. And there was a moment's hesitation. And he said, well, I don't have a bridge. We're going to have plenty of troubled waters. So someone was pretty quick. And I still didn't have the bridge. So I'm out driving around in Merrimack in the neighborhood. And I see exactly the type of bridge that is needed. It happens to be in someone's yard. Again, okay, do you have enough boldness to go knock on the door and say, can I borrow your bridge? I drove by, I came back, and I went up and knocked on the door. The guy was there. I said, just a little bit of an unusual question, but we're at a church, we're having a service, and we need a bridge. Would you be willing to lend me your bridge? He looked at me. Okay, so who are you? So he said, tell you what, let me talk to my wife, and I'll get back to you. So I gave him the number. He called me back the same day. He said, here's the deal. I'll let you use the bridge if you refinish it. So we got the bridge. I had to refinish it and take the bridge back to his house. But in all of that, even in these small things, it says there was a bridge requested, and it was found to be able to make a point. That, again, it's the history of saying, Lord, as silly as that may have seemed, and I'm going, I'm feeling like a fool knocking on the door saying, hey, can I borrow your bridge? But he opened the doors. So that's so much about what this church is about. And I know each one of you has some stories. So this is our background. This is who we have been. We need to be seeking forth on this, let the river flow. And with that, it's going to flow into this next part, which is actually, if you will do the next one, Kathy. So this was a little bit of a couple weeks ago, Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord God Almighty of Israel says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I had carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And that's been our charge in our heart, to move out and do things in this community. Community Connections. I'm going to do just a plain-out plug. Community Connections is to touch families and people, to say, we're here to support you. It is a fun activity. It's at Keys Field by the playground. But we're trying to build resources, non-faith resources as well as faith community, to talk about how we can begin to help people. Because this whole mental health problem, and not only our area and our state, but the whole country right now, is suffering so much from mental health. And we're not the clinicians, we are not the practitioners, but the Lord has put love in our heart. The Lord has given us skills to be able to be there when someone might need help. So that's what we're doing in this case. And even again, how the Lord opens up doors. One of the things we tried last year was that Paul Sontag, who's really been at the head of this for years, brought in disc golf. So if you've ever seen that, it's kind of a stanchion with chains on it, and you're shooting. Be very careful with the aficionados. Those are not frisbees. Those are golf discs, very specific, very much designed. And so we had it out there, and not much happened. When I got back this year, when we got back, I'm driving in the center of Milford, and lo and behold, next to the fish place, there's a disc golf business. Oh, fantastic. So I was able to stop in and talk with him. Just a really nice young man, Ryan Pernice. He opened it up, and he's here. In fact, he's getting married on the 3rd of July. But the discussion was, would you like to do something to reach out in the community? Enthusiastic, talking about, oh man, this is family stuff. They get out in the woods, it's less expensive. You know, for a family, you can set them up for about $25. There's a place right here in Amherst at the Birch Park. There's a place in Wilton. There's a couple places in Manchester. Oh, here's a map. It's all over this area. And I'm going, okay, I had no idea that disc golf had gotten that great. So part of the conversation, I felt it was important to say, well, we're a faith group, and we're coming alongside other agencies within this area to reach out to the community, to be able to show we love them and to be able to make a difference in their lives. So he looked for a moment and hesitated and said, well, I don't know if this needs to be said, but I'm not a religious man. I'm from a Jewish background, and my girlfriend is Greek Orthodox. It's okay. It's okay. My savior's a Jewish carpenter. So we're into that. It's perfectly okay. So just opening up into new people with an opportunity to talk about something they enjoy, that they're saying, I'll come alongside you, and I'll bring some joy to the community. And once we begin coming in to establish relationships where we can begin to find out if there's a need, can we direct them to how they meet that? If there is something in their life where we know they need the Lord, will he provide the information and the heart that we can be able to minister to them? So this is who we are. We are a body that says we're going to honor the Lord, we're going to seek his flow, and we're going to be listening for his voice to tell us, Lord, where do you want us to be working? Because unless he builds the house, it will fall. And it is our heart. That's been our heart, to be able to serve, to be the part that says we're going to assist where the Lord has us, that this river will flow out of all the churches in this area, not just River of Life, but that we would come together and we begin to make a difference, because our heart and our prayers have been, no longer are we going to listen to this curse of New Hampshire being the least churched, least religious state in the Union. No longer. Lord, it will stop, because we're going to believe that your evangelists, your people, are going to go out and begin sharing the good news of Jesus, even in the midst of everything going on, even in the midst of what's going to be happening with regard to abortion. And in that area, we're going to be called upon, because we're going to face some difficulties. But we know that in the Lord, we will have the words, we will have the strength and the perseverance to support each other and begin to say, this is God's country. We're claiming it for the Lord, and we're not going to back down, because this is his country. This is his place. And it's okay to talk about Jesus Christ. It's okay to share what he's done in our life. Not condemning. This is not, as one of the pastors I hang out with is, this is not, as I'm learning the Roman road, this is not, you're a sinner. You need to repent, get on your knees and repent, or you're going to be dead. In this world, that does not fly any longer. But it's out of love. It's out of I care for you. It's out of how can I help you even when I take my time to do so. So that's where my heart is. That's where the heart of this church has been. Any questions?
Years ago, we were part of the living room when it started back in Stu and Arlene's church. And a few years ago, after we have been here for quite a while, and I'm guilty now, I'm being convicted of the Lord, because I used to always come early in the morning before church started and pray with Daryl, and I haven't done that for probably about a year, and I need to get back. But and anyway, what I wanted to say is when you're talking about being a community, during our prayer time together, both Daryl and I had the same vision at the exact same time. And what we saw was the walls of the church just knocked down. But it wasn't just our walls. All the walls of all the churches in this area just started breaking their walls down, and they all went outside, and they took their signs off that said, River of Life, Light of the World, da-da-da-da-da, and they all replaced it with a sign that said, The Church. The church, every church, because we are the church, and we're called to go out, and it doesn't matter whether we go to River or we go to Light of the World, or we're Catholic, or wherever, we're the church, and the church goes out into the world, and we support abortion, and we support the hungry, and we support the people that are needy, the old people, the old people that are in the nursing homes that nobody goes to visit. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And yet sometimes we get like really comfortable just right here in our own little family. And I'm guilty of it. I think a lot of us are guilty of it. And it's time to wake up.
That's that, yes. We knew. But I would, yes, Peter.
I don't remember the year, 2016, 2015, I'm not sure which. My wife and I had become convinced that nothing was going to happen until the churches got together. If we were just all going to be insulated little boxes, nothing's going to happen. And we heard about a worship in the park. Seven churches had gotten together and they were going to worship over at Keys Field. Well, okay. So we went over there, and part of the program listed the addresses of the various churches that were involved. So we were in another church at the time that wasn't working very well for us, so we said, well, where's the closest one? Well, that was here. So we rolled in, and after about two or three times here, just trying to get the feeling of what it was like, Daryl got up to give a sermon, and one of the people in the congregation raised a hand, and he recognized him, and he talked about some of the challenges that he'd been having along the lines of what Daryl just talked about, and how he had overcome a lot, and it's made a difference in his life. That's great. So Daryl continued for about another two or three minutes, and another hand went up. For 45 minutes, hands kept going up. And finally, after was ready to get the kids out of the church, he says, well, I guess that's this morning's sermon for today. I got some notes here. You'll get them next week. And my wife and I said, we're in the right place.
So I hope you agree you're in the right place. But it's not, it isn't just here. And the blessing has been the Sauhegan Valley Outreach Team. It's four churches that have been most active in supporting it, to continue on the unity. So I thank God for that. I thank you for coming. I thank you for bearing up for my trying to teach or share, because I think sharing is important. As we share our stories and our lives, we just never know how it's going to touch a life. And so many of you have touched my life in many ways, that there's these little nuggets. That's okay.
So when you were talking about the mental health issue, which probably everybody knows is getting way worse, as a nurse, I see it all the time. You said we're not practitioners. We're not licensed practitioners, but we are God's practitioners, and he's the one that's going to ultimately heal that. No meds are going to fix that.
Anyone else? All right, there's a quota of six this morning. You have to reach six.
I'll be real short. Marguerite and Paul have loved the share. And evidence of the people here, my position's towards the front door, so I see the people leaving. And seeing the young adults, the reflection that are helping out, they could be sitting home doing video games, and I give the parents credit, and I give everybody there, because they're being taught to disciple. And it always touches me, because I get to see the people when they're leaving, because of where I am, and it really makes an effect. It says, you know, puts a stamp on the investment we've had for the next generation.
Way to go, okay.
All right, so the apostles followed Jesus, and we are the hands and feet of the church, right? So they went out and they taught, you know, and people were saved, and it kept on building and building. And without us, the generation, you know, the next generation here in the church, the children going out on Wednesday night, you know, we won't be able to continue that. So it's a good thing that we get the children involved, and just continue to be the hands and feet of the church.
And I will totally agree with that. One of the other things that we've done is to sponsor a missions trip to Poland in 2016 that my dear wife and I were able to go on. And I think we had half of the group, about 6 teenagers. What a hoot, what a joy. We were part of Pro-M, which Chris is aware of. They had 250 people, primarily from Europe and a few from the US, in a hotel, and the city actually provided the transportation every day to where you were working, and they provided the materials. So here was a city that, and again, Poland is primarily Catholic in terms of belief, I'll leave it there, but they said there are people that have needs, and we're going to work with this faith agency to bring people in to make a difference in the housing. And it was to watch the teenagers, the joy they had. And we had, Cleo is in a different space, but I had a translator. She was a teenage Iranian girl. And should I share that story?
Yeah, sure.
Is it okay? Share the story of the Iranian girl? You have two more minutes? Maybe five. This was a young lady, about 17, who was from Iran, spoke Polish, spoke Persian, spoke German, spoke English. There may have been one I missed. So she's our translator while we're in this house. And we began talking with her, saying, okay, you're here in Poland. How did you end up in Poland? She began to share bits and pieces, so it wasn't completely clear, but it sounded as though her mother's husband was Russian. I don't know whether it was first husband or not. And he apparently passed away. So these, she, and there was two girls, roughly 18 and 15. So she said, we came home from school one day, and my mother was gone, and there was a note that merely said I had to leave. No other detail. Here's the information you need for household expenses, and here's perhaps people that will help. And as she went back, as they went back to school, they were interviewed by the intelligence police. It says, where's your mother? We don't know. What do you mean you don't know? It's your mother. No, we don't know. She left. So months later, they find out that her mother's in Poland. And she's giving them directions in terms of what they have to do next. Thank you. They finally get flights out of Iran into Poland. They go to the airport. The older sister goes ahead, passes through the checkpoint, and starts walking in. She goes and shows her gate pass, and they said, you can't go. So this is a 15-year-old girl who now, her mother's gone, her sister's gone, because she said, no, you have to leave. And she goes back to the apartment. They wouldn't let her go because they said she wasn't of an age of proper intelligence to be able to make the decision to go. So she had to go through about the next 6 months of going through tests and proofs that she, in fact, knew what she was doing and that she was sufficiently at an age where she could make that decision. So after about 6 months, she was finally able to get approval to leave and went to Poland. Now, I can remember the first time sharing that with a bunch of ladies, and to a person, their impression was, how does a mother leave teenage daughters with no information, you know, just enough that says, here's what you need to, for living expenses, and just leave? How is it possible? I can't imagine. So months later, I had a colleague who happened to be from Iran, and I shared that story with him. And immediately he said, she had to leave. They were going to kill her. He knew what it was like there and what would happen. So here, again, you see how the Lord, because it was a Christian family, how the Lord made provision to take care of even this 15-year-old to be able to stay there safely until she could join her mother. And you look at it going, this lady just sent her two children, or left them behind, and she left. What a mother. How could, you know, the judgment comes in and says, how could they possibly leave teenage girls in that condition? And yet, there was a reason for it. So the Lord moved in that particular case to share with us that says, ease off on your judgments. There's always something in the background that you don't know about. There's always some other information that when you begin to dig a little bit further, you find out, yeah, there was a reason for that. Mm-hmm. Evidence in crime scenes, etc., that says there's always something behind the scenes that you haven't heard. Be cautious of the media. Yes, I have my reservations now with all of the media. That's editorial enough. So, Lord, I thank you for this body of brothers and sisters. I thank you for how you've touched our lives. I thank you that you love us enough to just be patient with all of our shortcomings, all of our questions, our doubts, our reservations about who we are and what we're supposed to do. Lord, we want to be part of that river that flows that you shared with us. We want to be just waiting on the Holy Spirit to move, because he is the one. He's the one that makes a difference. He's the one that changes lives. He is the one that gives us the courage and the desire in the heart to go out and love people for who they are, not because of what they've done, not judging them, but just knowing that you're calling their heart, them. You have called them by name, and to the degree that you want us to be their help, then direct us in any way. Lord, you've given us gifts, you've given us knowledge, you've given us access to funds. You just blessed us in so many ways. So we thank you and praise you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.